Speaking of opening up God's Word, let's do that together this morning. We're going to title the message is The Meaning of Baptism. The Meaning of Baptism. And we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And we're going to just go through quite a few verses this morning and just talk about baptism. And I've got 11 points this morning. And just hold on, don't get too worried about that. I know how we can get. There's 11 points about baptism, and there are more. That's all I'm going to share, and yes, I do recognize that I don't have as much time as normal. So we'll move through these really quickly. Read with me, starting in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's pray. God, we give you this time. We give you the attention of our minds. God, we give you the direction of our heart. We pray for the power of your Spirit to move in a mighty way as we consider something as amazing as baptism. I pray that the importance of it, the power of it, is not lost on a single soul in this room. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really want to impress upon you all the importance of this teaching about baptism. It is truly one of the most significant events in a person's life. And we got to experience it this morning with Carissa giving her life to Christ and following in obedience to be baptized right before all of us. What I don't want to have happen is for people that have been saved for a long time to just tune this out because they know what baptism is. And they've seen 100 baptisms, or 5 or 10, or however many they've seen. I think they already know. I want them to evaluate themselves, live according to their baptism, and rejoice in it. And I want them to be more than ready to help others understand the importance of it. I also don't want young people to think, nah, it's too technical for me, too boring. I need a sermon that will get my attention. I need a sermon with some fun and cool stories that I can laugh at for a bit. This is over my head. I'm not even going to try. It's about baptism. And if you are not a baptized believer yet, I really want you to listen in. Because this is of the utmost importance to you and is exciting. And I want to make a quick statement so you'll understand as we get going along. Water baptism is a dramatization. It is a dramatization or an outward display of an inner working that has happened within the person. Just like actors play out a writer's vision for some sort of inner struggle. A lot of writers will write a thing about inner struggle that they have. And then actors will go and they'll act out that thing. They'll make a setting. They'll put it in a place in time. They'll do all sorts of things. They'll have different characters. They'll have some sort of plot. And sometimes the writer is actually maybe talking about the struggle within a nation or within a bunch of nations. And they'll act this thing out on stage or on the movie screen so that people can understand what's happening. And baptism is a similar thing. Baptism explains to those that are watching and to the person doing it what is happening within the person. So this is the most important topic for everybody in this room. Young, old, in the middle, baptized, not baptized, all christened, dedicated, everybody. This is an important topic. I'll run through this in the next 15 to 20 minutes. Okay? And most of y'all in here think I'm a liar. You probably need to be baptized because of that. The first point is this. Jesus baptizes us spiritually. That's what we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist is doing a water baptism. And he says, I baptize with water for repentance. This is a sign of repentance. I'm showing you guys, come to the water, repent of your sins. I'm going to cleanse you outwardly. It's an outward showing of the way the person is thinking inside. I've sinned against God. I'm going to repent. I'm going down to the waters. I'm going to wash away the filth of my life. But then John says, I do water baptism. It's a baptism of repentance, but there is one coming. He's mightier than I am, and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We're not going to go into the deep theological meanings of that, but this is the point that Jesus, when He comes upon a person, He is baptized, immersed, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which is often symbolized by fire in the Scriptures. He does a very powerful work. That is baptism. That is true baptism. That is what Jesus does within the person. Our second, see how short these points are? We're moving right along. Baptism is a work of the Spirit. In John chapter 3, verses 5 and 8, Jesus says this to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes along and moves in a person, moves within them. And He does as He pleases, and He works as He wants. I can't force this upon a person. I can't make a person be baptized with the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't make this happen. This is a work of God. This is what God does in the person. It is something that is done, thirdly, inwardly. It is done inwardly. God describes this to us as He speaks through the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36, where He says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And here it is. This is a really good description of what happens when a person is baptized by the Spirit. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We see that what God does when a person comes to Him and the Lord Jesus baptizes them with the Holy Spirit, there's a thing that happens within them. They're given a new heart. They're given the Spirit of God within them. This is something that was untrue to begin with. Before encountering the powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ, a person does not have the Spirit of God. You can claim to be a child of God all you want. You can claim to be in touch with God. You can claim that you and God have some sort of agreement and that He understands you. But unless you have the Holy Spirit within you, you are not saved and you will never enter into the kingdom of God. It will not happen for you. This must be true. An inward change must happen. He says, I will take out their heart of stone. That's a hard heart. That's a heart that won't listen to the things of God. A heart that is not humble to the things of God. It's a heart that goes, I'm going to do what I want to do. The Scriptures say that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We always think, oh, our heart's good. I'm just going to follow my heart. Okay, you know, at my heart, I'm in love with this guy. And my heart, this is what my heart wants. But he's a wretched dude. He doesn't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't live for God. He don't have your best interest in mind. And we could turn this around, the girl too, right? She's like this. But you're like, oh, but my heart's saying this. Your heart will deceive you in an instant. It must be changed by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. This is done inwardly by God. We must be inwardly changed. And when we are, number four, moving right along, baptism is union with Christ. We're joined with Him. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, 4, he starts the chapter out by going, because he's talking about grace and how great grace is, and the person, he's responding to someone's question, well, should I just sin so grace will abound? He says, heavens, no. And then he says this, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism unto death. This is why I took Carissa, and I took her just like this. And I laid her back as if she was a corpse. All the way down under the water. I do that for symbolism. Now, you can take a person and do them like this, too. All right? That's okay. And we'll talk about the mode in just a minute. But he says, we were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is why, like the words I say up there, I'm not just saying them because they're just things to say. But buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, because this is what the Scripture says. And then when a person is baptized by the Spirit of God through the powerful working of Jesus Christ, let me turn that around. When they're baptized by Jesus through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, they have been joined with Christ. They are in union. Now listen, you don't make this happen. God makes this happen. How it all works, I'm not sure. But what I know is this, that when a person repents and believes, they are given the Spirit of God. They're baptized by the Spirit of God. And it says they're joined, united together with Christ. That's what he says here. That those who have been baptized into Jesus, they're baptized into His death. So now you're joined together in His death. His sin-defeating death now applies to you. You're now joined together with Christ. This is why we're considered co-heirs of the universe with Jesus. Because God has joined us together with His Son. It's a beautiful thing. In Galatians 3:26, he says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. This is again, I say it again, that's why I say it. We're not all sons of God. We only are sons of God in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. What? Through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if we've come to Christ, we put Him on. This is why in the Bible it says that you can't enter into the kingdom. He's talking about there. He's got this wedding feast. He's doing this parable. And he says, oh, there's someone here in the wedding feast. And he doesn't have on the proper garments. Throw him out. Cast him out. To where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because he doesn't have on the right garments. He hasn't put on Christ. He doesn't have a robe that's been dipped in the blood and made white. Just, it's all symbolism, right? Symbolic. The robe dipped in the blood, it's white. We put it on. We enter into the kingdom. Jesus said to the people, He says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, the most righteous people you know, you're not entering into the kingdom. Because you've got to have a righteousness that is not your own. That's what Paul says, right, in Philippians. I'm striving. I want to enter into the kingdom with a righteousness not of my own, but that which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, baptism is a union with Christ. Fifthly, baptism is for believers. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to this. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. Now this baptism and resurrection occurs the moment a person is saved. And one day, and it's in the hope of a future bodily resurrection. It's in the hope. Like, I heard someone this week say, we don't really, if you're a Christian, death is just not even a good word for you anymore. Except when it describes what's happened to you. You died in Christ. Your life died. Now death is nothing for us. We say this person died, that person died. But it's a small word for us. It carries almost no meaning. Because the moment a person in Christ dies, they immediately are with the Lord in heaven. That's what Paul says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is possible because of what Christ has done. And so it's kind of like this. I say this at funerals. I'll probably say this week, a funeral to do. A man walks into his house. He's walking in it. It's been cold outside. It's very cold. He's got on a coat. He walks in the house. He takes the coat off, sets it on the hook, and he keeps walking. That's what death is like for us now. Now, he may have had a treacherous journey into the house, right? May have been tough through a lot of snow. It may have been hard. May have been cold. But when he arrives and he takes off that coat and he moves on about his life, that's death to us. It is for believers. Notice this. We've been buried with him in baptism. And he says we're raised through faith. Through faith. In Acts chapter 2, it says those who received his word were baptized. Those who received his word. I want you to understand that baptism is for believers. Now, I have a great many of friends that love the Lord and they know the gospel and they baptize infants. And look, when you read the scripture, it teaches something different. It teaches something different. Now, a person that's baptized an infant, is that going to keep them from going at? No, it's not. I mess with my buddy. I say it's just a glorified baby dedication. That's what I say. It's just a little bit of a little wetter baby dedication. Baptism should be for the person that is trusted in Christ. They have to be cognizant of these things. They have to be aware of what they're doing. Because he says we're baptized, and then he says, and we're raised, but it's through faith. And then it says those who received his word. A little kid can't receive it if they can't understand. They can't talk. We must come to an understanding of the truth. Number six, baptism, this goes together, is a response to the gospel and moving of the Spirit. This is what happened in Acts 2, after Peter's preaching. It says the people were cut to their heart. And they cried out, what must we do to be saved? Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, be baptized. And he says it's after they heard the gospel. Now, there may be some that say, well, this is at the very beginning. It is, but it sets a pattern. You hear the gospel. The gospel is the means by which we're saved. Don't you know that? The gospel message is the way that you can be baptized by the Spirit of God. The gospel, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. The gospel can create spiritual baptism. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came. He lived a perfect life in your place because you weren't able to do it. He died on a cross taking the wrath of God because you weren't able to bear it. He rose from the grave in victory because you didn't have the power to do it either. This is the good news for you. That God has done these things for you. And if you believe on that, turn from your sins, you'll be saved. And He says, and be baptized. It's in response to the good news of the gospel. Baptism, number seven, also cleanses us from sins. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, sometimes we talk about baptism and it's about spirit, and sometimes it's the outward. But I want you to understand the outward is to display the inward. You got to understand that wisdom, okay? Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the verse I shared with you before, it says, You be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This baptism cleanses you. Remember the verse in Ezekiel that I shared? It says, I'll sprinkle clean water on you. It's a cleansing, a washing away. It's what is significant of it. It cleanses us from our sins. Number eight, it is in the name of the triune God. He says to us in Matthew 28, verse 19, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is because God is much more complex than us. We're not going to get into a big study on the Godhead, on the Trinity, on the triune God. But know this, that God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Spirit is God. And they're distinct persons within the Godhead. And they are one and they are three, while still being one. And they all have a part in us coming to know Him. They all have a part in our baptism. So therefore we're done. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because we're also being baptized. When we baptize, that is a profession of our faith. Our faith, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Spirit. I believe in what they've done. I believe in who they are. I believe in what they said. Ninthly. Is ninthly a word? I don't think anybody ever gets that high. Ninthly. Baptism is a part of discipleship. Matthew 28, verse 19. We talk about discipleship all the time. Like, we got to make disciples, got to make disciples. We can't just baptize them, but we got to baptize them. It's part of discipleship. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them. Then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. But part of making disciples is giving them that gospel so they see the beauty of Christ and what He's done and their need for Him and their sins to be forgiven. And they go, oh yes, I believe that. I want to receive that. And when they do, they go, well then I'm going to be obedient, because God has just baptized me with His Spirit. I'm going to be obedient to be baptized in water. It's part of being discipled. It's part of being a disciple. Number 10, baptism should be done, it should be desired willingly. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35, I'm not going to read all of these verses, but this is Philip, the evangelist. He's on the side of the road. He hears this guy reading some scriptures. He hops in. He begins to share with him the gospel from that point in Isaiah. And as he does this, he says, as he tells him the good news about Jesus, says, as they were going along the road, they came them some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. Now, I did that loud because there's an exclamation point in the text. He's excited. He's willing. Like when Carissa came, she was excited last week. She's been excited all week. Am I wrong? You were excited when we got up there. She was willing. I did not have to go to her and beg her to be baptized, right? She was ready to go. Now, sometimes that happens. People have stage fright. Some people are afraid of water. Some people are afraid of being in front of people. That's understandable. And so some of us, it takes us a little bit longer. But we need to be willing, right? He says, what prevents me from being baptized? And so they commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water. And Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That man was ready. And he was baptized by immersion. So that's the mode. If it was just the need to sprinkle, he would have walked down, got a little water, put it on his head. But he went down. The Bible says both of them did. They both came up out of the water. They both went down into the water, and they both came up out of the water. When John the Baptist was baptizing in John chapter 3, verse 23, Notice what it says. John also was baptized. He was Baptist. John also was baptizing at Anan near Salim because water was plentiful there. It was plentiful. I heard a guy preaching on this week, and he says, I reckon that you could baptize 200 people with a quart of water if all you're doing is dipping it on their head. But John the Baptist knew, for me to carry out the symbolism that God is wanting, I need a bunch of water. So I'm going to go find a place where there's a lot of water, and that's where I'm going to baptize people. And this is what we see in the Scriptures. And actually, and look, I'm not trying to argue with anybody. I'm not doing that. I'm not arguing with any other denominations or any other religions or anything like that. I'm just teaching you what the Scriptures say. That's it. What other people do, that's on them. I'm just going to preach the Scriptures, right? I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just preaching the Scriptures here. But all scholars agree, whether they may do it another way, they all agree that baptizo, the Greek word, it means to immerse. It's just what the word means. That's why we do it this way. And finally, okay? I'm 3 minutes over. I'm sorry. Brother Jim, it's your fault, okay? All right. Baptism should be desired without delay. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is about Paul. This is later on in his life, and he's recounting his story of how he came to Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and he went to Ananias. And so Ananias is making sure he understands the gospel and what God's calling him to. And this is Paul's recounting of that, of what Ananias said to him in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He says, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." See this connection between calling upon Christ in faith and being baptized, right? So we see it together. And here's my final words. Baptism is very important. One must be baptized inwardly to be truly saved. Without it, there's no salvation, no spiritual life, no union with Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you got dunked. Okay? It won't matter. If it's not done inside, spiritually, outside water baptism will mean nothing. But water baptism is extremely important. Not because it saves. In itself. It's not isolated. The reason I say this, we know that the thief on the cross came to Christ and never got baptized. All right? It's an important theological teaching to understand. He says, "Remember me." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The baptism is part of being a disciple. Now, I don't think we can be that great of a disciple without baptism. And we'll struggle in our walk with God. And it is a powerful testimony and profession of our faith to be baptized. I want to leave you with that. May God do as He pleases with you today. Let me pray. We'll have a time of response. God is moving in you to receive Him, to turn from your sins and trust in Him. Give you the opportunity to do that today. If you're a believer and you're struggling and you need some time to pray and ask God to help you, we'll give you that time as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for this public display of faith by Carissa. And God, what it reminds us of in our own life, that we have been raised from death and been given a new life. We have been freed from the bondage of sin, God, so that we may live and walk in your ways. We've been given a new heart. You've been given your spirit. We rejoice in this. We are thankful for it. God, we're thankful for it. Forgive us, God, when we're just apathetic about it. We don't sing like we should about it. And we don't talk like we should about it. We don't live like we should about it. Help us today, God, to be delighted in this and to seek it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.